Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word.
All right. Well, we are live. How you doing today? Are you doing good? Hey, I'm Jeremiah Smith, and we're here going to get into God's Word today, and it's such a blessing to get to be with you today. You know, God is good all the time. Isn't that good? You know, you think about right now, whatever you're going through and whatever challenge you're facing, and you think all kinds of darkness is around you, you know, you have to consider, though, God is good all the time. He's not going to let you get into dark. He's not going to let it get too bad. He's a good father, and he'll help you come out of that situation. Do you believe that today? He's a good father. You know, and he doesn't let things get too bad for you. He'll always lead you in a way of escapes what the scripture says. And he's going to help you today. This week is going to be a good week. Say that with me today. This week is going to be a good week. Amen. You know, you got to believe that, though, when you're saying it. Do you believe it today? Do you believe that this is going to be a good week for you? Well, you know, any day is a good day when you get up and you got God with you. You know, you got the God, the creator of heaven and all the universe with you today. You know, the devil likes to make it look like you're on your own, but you're not. You got the heaven and the God that made the heavens and the earth and all the planets and all the solar systems. He's all living on the inside of you. If you're saved today, if you aren't saved, I'm going to give you that chance when we get done at the end here. But he's there with you. Whatever your challenges are, whatever you're facing today, he has all the answers and he's living on the inside of you. Isn't that good to know today? I like knowing that. I like knowing he's living on the inside of me. So I get to spend time with him and talk to him and get some heavenly wisdom, and he'll guide and direct us, every one of us, in the way that we need to go if we'll put it on him and let him lead us and help us. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad about it, praise the Lord, and I'm glad I get to be with you. It's an honor to get to be with the saints today. It's an honor to get to be with you today, and I believe it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful service today with the Lord. And so we're going to get into this today, praise the Lord, and we're going to talk about some different things today, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. So if you're listening, you know, you can catch us live on Podbean. You can catch us live on YouTube if you'd like to there. Well, those are the live places that we broadcast our messages there, and after we get done, we put them up on Podbean and on YouTube if you'd like to listen to the rebroadcast. But you can go to those places and listen to the rebroadcast if you'd like to. Now, if you can't catch us live at those times, which we are live at 4 p.m. Central Time on Sundays, and we're live at 6 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. If we're a little bit late, we're usually coming on there, but we try to make sure that we're right about those times at 4 p.m. Central Time and 6 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. And, you know, we just teach the Word. We're here to encourage you in the Word, help you to grow spiritually in the Word, and to help you to be encouraged today. You know, the fivefold ministry, if you look it up, it talks about that all five of them are to edify you, to encourage you, you know. So if you're getting your brains beat out listening to some of these people, you know, you might want to turn on the right people there that are encouraging you and helping you through the times that you're coming through. In this world today, we need encouragement. The Holy Spirit's encouraging people today. He's making a word for you, you know, making sure you got a word on the inside of you. He's making sure that you're stirred up, and he's trying to get your faith up there where it needs to be. If your faith's way down here, he's trying to get it way up here for you, and so that you can come through the challenging times that you come through. So don't run from the Word. Make sure you're running to the Word when you're having challenges. You know, make sure that you're spending time in God's Word so that he can encourage you and get you through the challenges that you're facing today. Do you believe that? I believe it. Well, if you can't catch the rebroadcast at those two places, we're on many other places. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Listen Notes, Podbean, Tune In off Alexia, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Deezer, Pandora, Amazon Music, Verbal, iVox, Audio Junkie, Podchaser, Player FM, all kinds of those different places. Samsung is the newest one, and you can catch us in all those places and listen to the rebroadcast there. If you want to listen to all the rebroadcasts, I believe most all of them are on Podbean. There's about over 300 different podcasts you can listen to there. Of course, Coffee with Confessions, we plan to have that this evening for you. And that Coffee with Confessions, where I come on there, basically encourage you to do your confessions every day, speaking God's Word. And there's nothing better than speaking God's Word, you know, taking his Word and speaking it, calling those things that be not as though they were in your life, you know. If you're not speaking his Word, you're speaking some other stuff, right? and we need to be speaking his word. And on this, it's kind of like, you know, getting on the treadmill, and I'm on there encouraging you to speak the word of God. And there, the list of them are on jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. If you want to look them over before you do it there, or have them on your phone and go through them with us. But we literally go through that list together. And it's just a basic list of confessions. You can add more if you'd like to, but it just kind of gets you started and making sure that you're speaking the right things for your day and your life. Amen. So it's important that we take the time to do that. We have to take the time to do it. If you're not doing it, somebody else isn't doing it for you. You have to speak the word of God for your life. And speaking the word causes things to happen, causes change. It makes things different if you're calling those things that be not as though they were. You know, we're speaking the word in the face of, you know, contradicting circumstances, and that's what you're doing. You're calling those things that be not as though they were, calling what you're needing to have in your life by God's word, and that's what we're doing on that coffee confession. So you can check that out. You can download some old ones if you like. I believe there's tons of old ones on there, and you can go through and listen to coffee confessions. We did one last week, and it's on there. And if you want to give, you can give and go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. If you want to give there, and Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And there's no pressure to give here, but if you'd like to give, you're welcome to give. And I believe God will bless you back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You say, why do you say that? Well, that's what the scripture says. And God's not a liar. If he says that he's going to give you back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, that's what he's going to do. He's a good father, and he honors his word. He always honors his word. That's his covenant. That's his word, and he sticks to his word in everything that he does. You know, maybe somebody didn't stick to their word in your life, but God doesn't lie. So he sticks to his word. If he told you he's going to do it, he's going to do it, and he keeps his promises. He's a good father. Galatians 6:7 talks about his system. It says, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. So if you're making fun of this system, you're making fun of him. He says, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So you don't want to mock his system. That's how he does things. And he causes those things to come back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's his word. That's not Jeremiah's word. That's his word. And he wants to make sure that things are pressed over, shaken together, running over in your life. He wants good things in your life, you know. There's a lot of negative out there, you know, but I'm going to be talking to you about the good stuff of God's word. You know, he said he came to give you good news, right? And what's good news to a person that's needing finances? Well, God can bring finances in if you're so. What's good news to a person that's needing healing? Well, God can heal you, right? And what's good news to a person that's having a challenging situation? Well, God can fix the situation. He came to give you good news. That's the gospel. It means good news, and he has good news for you today. Something good's going to happen to you today. Do you believe that today? You didn't just happen to walk in here. You didn't just happen to turn this on today. You know, you were pulled here, I believe, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and you're here for a reason today, you know. You didn't just happen to stumble in here today. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me, you know, and we're lifting up Jesus Christ here, and I believe the Holy Spirit, by his wonderful grace and love, has pulled you in here today to help you get an answer for something you need, help you to get some direction for some stuff that you need today, and we're just going to honor him and let the Holy Spirit have his way today. Is that okay with you today? Hey, we don't know how long we'll go. This is my podcast. I can go as long as I want to go, you know, and we'll just let the Holy Spirit have his way today. Is that okay with you? Hey, that's all right with me. I'm always good with whatever God wants to do, and we're going to be about the Father's business today. How about that today? Let's pray today. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. You're always good to us, even when we're not looking, when we're in bed, when we get up, when we get to go throughout our day, Father, through the evening, through the nighttime, you are always with us. You said you never leave us. You never forsake us. You're always there with us. And you're here. Even when we said, the Bible says we come together, two of us agree, or we come concerning anything that you shall ask, that in your word, Father, you said you're there, you are in the midst of us. You're right here. You haven't gone nowhere. You care about everybody listening today. And we're just so glad and honored that you're with us today, Father. Thank you for being with us. And we ask that your Holy Spirit have his way today. We ask that you minister the hearts and minds of people today. Help no one to leave without getting what they need today. Father, we just ask, even as I'm speaking, you're speaking something else if you need to across my words, Father, by your Holy Spirit, but you're ministering to the hearts and minds of people. And I ask that no one leave without getting what they need today. Flood us with light. Help us to see stuff we've never seen before. We love it when we see stuff we've never seen before. And there's always something new every time we look in the Word. And we're looking for your nuggets of truth today. And we just thank you, Father, for it. And before we go, we minister once again unto you. Thank you for taking care of our lives, taking care of us every day we get up, sustaining us, taking care of everything that's going on with us, Father. We don't have to worry. We don't have to stress because you're here with us, Father, and you got big shoulders, and you know how to handle all issues and situations we're dealing with. And Father, we give it to you today, and we just ask that you touch our help a minister. We minister to you. We thank you for being so good to us and taking care of us and taking care of us with ease, Father. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name, always being there for us, watching over us, falling us with goodness and mercy every day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, you know, I'm so glad I'm here with you today. I hope that you're glad to be with me today. Grab your Bible, get your phone, get your tablet, get yourself ready. I hope you heard that message last Wednesday, talking about what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail. If you didn't hear it, check it out. I believe that was a good message. Before that, we also talked about praying the mysteries out. That's a wonderful, wonderful message, I believe. Today, we're going to be talking about, well, I was praying today, you know, and we can talk about anything. There's all kinds of stuff we could talk about. But I like to ask the Lord, what do you want me to talk about today? You know, and I'll just ask him and listen. It might be something new. Might be something I talked about before. We're going to be talking about today the ABCs of faith. We're going to talk about faith today. You say, well, I've heard all kinds of stuff. Have you? Have you heard everything on it? Well, you know, we can always grow, you know, in faith and from faith to faith and get bigger and bigger in our faith and get stronger and stronger in our faith. You know, you'd be surprised how many things you don't realize about the subject of faith. And the more you hear it, the more you learn, the more the Holy Spirit will teach you. You know, but, you know, we're supposed to be growing and growing all the time. And one of the most important areas is faith. You say, well, why is that so important? Why do we need to know about faith? Well, this is something that's at the heart of God. You know, this is something he takes very seriously. And we're going to talk about why some things of why it's important to him. And we're going to look at some stuff here. We're going to get into the subject of faith. I say why it's important to him. Well, you know, one thing the Bible says in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, and if you want to please him, you're going to have some faith. So you're going to need to know what it is, right? If you want to please him and make him happy, we need to have some faith in everything that we do. Faith is a foundation for your healing. Faith is a foundation for everything that you do with your walking in love, with you receiving from God. You know, you have to understand the subject, you know. I don't know about you. I've heard this subject a lot of times. I've heard it from many, many different ministers. And, you know, it can be confusing because a lot of people teach it a lot of different ways, you know, and you get a little part over here and little part over there, but you know, you need to put it all together by knowing the ABCs and making sure that you understand it. So let's look at this real quick. Matthew, the 9th chapter, the 27th verse, it says it like this. It says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. You ever felt that way? You're following Jesus, you know, just chasing after Jesus. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Life has been that bad to you. You've been beat up, got a black eye. You've gone through it all. You know, you ever been there? I don't know. I've been there, you know. Things that beat you up, you're like, Jesus, help me, you know. And that's what these gentlemen are doing here. They're blind, and they're like, help us. You know, they're dealing with blindness, you know. And if you're blind, it is tough. You don't see stuff, right? And you're not seeing the stuff you want to see. Have you been that way before? You're not seeing the stuff that you want to see. And you're calling out to God, help me to see what I need to see today. Well, that's pretty deep if you think about it today, you know. I don't know about you, but he's the light. I need to lighten my situation. I need to see some stuff, you know, some vision. I need to see what's going on in front of me, you know. And the best thing to do is go to Jesus. He's the one that's going to guide your path and give you the direction that you need. He's the light. Amen. And so we need to be doing what these gentlemen are doing here. It says in the 28th verse, it says, when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith to them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Why would he ask that question? He's checking out where their belief system is, right? He's checking out what their faith level is when he's doing that. And he's doing that with you today. Do you believe I'm able to do this stuff that I've talked to you about today? You know, sometimes he gives you something so big, it'll blow your mind, right? He'll give you a dream that's so big that you only can accomplish it with his help, you know? And he asks you, he'll come out and find out where your faith level is. He'll say, well, do you believe that we can accomplish this, you know, checking out where you're at with your faith. You know, we should be as pastors and teachers, you know, when we're talking to people, finding out where people's faith level is, you know. I mean, it's important to know, because if you don't know where their faith level is, you don't know if they're going to be able to get their healing if you take the time to pray with them. You don't know if you're going to receive from God if you're praying your prayers at home or when you're walking with God. You know, it's important to know your faith level. You know, I got cars, you know, outside, you know. And I got three of them, and I have to check the oil on those things. You know, if they don't have enough oil, they're not going to get to where they need to go. They're not going to function the way they need to function. I might hear some noises under the hood. I might get a light, you know, saying, "Uh-oh, you're in trouble now." You know, if I don't know where the level of the oil is on in there, you know, same thing with the battery on the car. You know, I have a lawnmower out there, riding lawnmower, you know, and if I don't make sure it's charged, that thing won't even leave the garage. You know, I can push the button all I want, but it's not going to start and go where it needs to go, you know. And you, if you don't know where your faith level is, you're not going to be able to accomplish the stuff that you need to accomplish. It's important to know where your faith level is. It's important to know how to use your faith. It's important that you're taking care of your faith, you know. And you say, well, why is that important? Well, you know, you can't get your prayers answered with it. You can't live on it with a daily basis in every area of your life. You know, you can't walk the way God wants you to walk unless you have a strong faith. You know, we're going to talk about it. It's not hard to have faith. It's not hard to have a lot of faith. But we're going to talk about these things, you know. But notice what he said to him, though. He says, do you believe that you're able, that I'm able to do this, you know? Wouldn't he be wasting his time if they didn't believe? Wouldn't he? Think about that today. Yeah? He can lay hands on them 500 times, slap them and kick them real good, you know, they'll be able to get their vision back, you know. But wouldn't it be a waste of time if they don't even believe it's going to work? Yeah, would it be a waste of time, you know? And he doesn't want to waste his time, right? And I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my time either, you know? You don't want to just be praying to be praying and not thinking it's hitting anywhere but above the ceiling or hitting the throne of God, you know? You don't want to be wasting your time with your prayers. It's important to know where your faith level is. They said unto him, yea, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Notice what he said, though. He said, they said, yea. Right. And he said to you, according to your faith, be it unto you. So, you know, it wasn't his faith why they got healed. He said, according to your faith is why they were healed. He put it back on them. You know, it's so interesting how people like to blame God for so many things. And we like to blame each other. Something's wrong, you know, but it comes back to us, doesn't it? It comes back to our personal life, you know, and you say, well, my situation's this way, and these are the challenges I'm facing today, and this is what I'm dealing with today, you know, and God let this happen. God just let this happen to me, you know. No, it's according to your faith is where you're at, why you're doing what you're doing, you know. It's important that he puts it back on them. And it's important, if you're not having the blessings of God in your life and you're not having certain things in your life, we don't blame God for that. He's already paid the price for everything for us. He's done everything he can do. He sent Jesus and paid the price for everything for you to have a good life. But it's important that you realize it's not him causing it to happen. It's us receiving it today. And this is part of it, learning to use your faith. You know, and if you don't use your faith, then certain things aren't going to happen in your life. You have to be a person using your faith. Talking about those confessions we were talking about with Call for the Confession. You know, that's part of activating your faith. Speaking those things, calling those things that be not as though they were in your life. You know, you need to speak some things every day. You need to talk some things every day using your faith, right? And we could get into a whole bunch about that, you know. I mean, the Bible says in Mark 11:23, says, believe in your heart, speak it out of your mouth. And talking to the mountain there, it talks about Mark 23. You know, so we got to believe what we're saying. We got to have faith about what we're saying and what we're speaking from our hearts. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, seeing that no man know it. Think about this today, though, you know, their eyes were open according to their faith, right? So we need to know some stuff about faith. If we want healing in our lives and if we want good things in our life, we're going to have to understand some truths about faith, you know, and that's part of the problem. You know, we know a portion of it. We know a little bit about it. We heard what someone else said about it, but we need to know the basics of faith so that we can have good things happening in our lives. Praise the Lord. Because God loves faith. He enjoys faith. He's a faith God. He loves it. And it's important that we're applying it into our lives. So notice Jesus said, according to your faith, Matthew 9:21. Let's look over there real quick. Matthew 9:21. And we're just kind of hitting a little bit of it today. We're going to be talking today about what it is. But then we're going to talk a few weeks about what it does and how to release it, you know, talking about how to keep faith, you know, how to feed your faith, you know, make sure you're keeping it strong. We're going to talk about these things as the Holy Spirit leads us, and we'll go down different rabbit trails and look at different things about it. But it's important you understand this truth about faith. Faith is important. Now, I come from, you know, I went to Bible school at Rhema Bible School, you know, so I come from the heritage of faith. You know, Brother Hagin was one of my teachers there at the school, and Keith Moore was one of my teachers at that school. And, you know, so I they've imparted a lot of things into my spirit about faith. And, you know, and I'm very a strong believer that God wants you to use your faith on a daily basis in different areas of your life, not to just to get stuff. We're supposed to live by our faith. We're supposed to walk by our faith. We're supposed to be going and doing everything we do with our faith, praise the Lord, and God, you know? And we're going to talk about that some more. Matthew 9:21 says it like this, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. No, she's even talking to herself. She said within herself, if I can touch his garment, I'm healed. If I touch his garment, I'm healed. She's calling those things. She's speaking those things. When I touch his garment, I'm healed. Amen. Well, how are you feeling today? Are you speaking something? This is going to be a good day. Some stuff's going to happen today. God's going to do good things today. This is going to be a good day for my life today. You know, are you just saying, well, there's no telling what could happen today? Are you one of those people that are cynical all the time and, oh, anything could happen today? No, you know, it depends on how you're seeing things, and you're talking to where the level of your faith is every day. And it's important that you're looking for good things all the time. You know, God's a good God, and he's looking for good things in your life all the time. And we need to see things like he sees things. You say, why? Well, the Bible talks about we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And he talks about thinking about good things. If you go down through the list of the things that Paul talks about by the Holy Spirit, about the things we're supposed to be thinking about, we're not supposed to be thinking on the negative. We're supposed to be thinking on good things, praise the Lord. The 22nd verse says it like this, but Jesus turned to him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. I like that. Isn't that good? Be of good comfort. You know, maybe today you're dealing with some stuff, and you're dealing with some health issues, and Jesus is coming into your house and your car and your home and your couch today saying, be of good comfort. Hey, that he's confident. Some good stuff's going to happen to you wherever you are today in this world. He has some good things for you. Be of good comfort today. Don't be worried. Don't be stressed. The God of the universe is there with you today, and he'll help you today. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, he's able to do stuff in people's life because of their faith. Notice it wasn't his faith. It wasn't the faith of the neighbor next door. It was had to do with her faith, why she got healed here. Powerful to think about. I remember reading these scriptures, particularly to my grandmother. I remember going over to her house. First time, I believe, I ever prayed for anybody for healing. And I felt like the Lord said, go to my grandmother's house. She was not feeling well, you know. And I went over to my grandmother's house, and she's laying in the bed, you know. And, of course, when I got there, people were in the living room, you know, and she's laying in the bed, you know. Her house was always immaculate, you know. I mean, every area of that house seemed like it wasn't the nicest home. It was a small home with about two bedrooms, little bitty A-frame type home. But boy, she kept that thing immaculate, you know, and she loved God. I mean, she's in heaven. She still loves God. But, you know, you think about it, she kept that thing immaculate, you know. And I went over there, you know, into her house, you know. I went in there to pray for her, never prayed for anybody, had my NIV Bible, you know, really couldn't read much other Bibles, you know, because I was pretty new in the Lord. And I was reading the NIV Bible, you know, and I went in there and I just thought, okay, we're going to start here. We're just going to read her some scriptures about healing. This was one of the scriptures I talked to her about, talking about the healing with a woman of the issue of blood. As I remember, I was a little nervous. You know, this is my grandmother. She's been in the faith. I mean, I'd go over to her house, you know, and they'd fall asleep with their Bible in their hands, my grandfather and her. And they just love the word. I mean, they have the Bible, they had Christian programming on all the time, you know. And these are God's generals in my family, you know. And I remember when I was young, they'd come in there and pray for me in tongues, you know, put the ointment, you know, all over me, you know, with the, what was it, the, I'm trying to think of the cream they put around your neck to breathe well, you know, and do all the stuff to get me healed, you know, and spend lots of hours making sure I was healthy and praying for me in tongues and laying hands on me, slapping me with their hands to pray for me. You know, these are God's generals in my family, you know. They're praying for other people too. So much prayer going in that house, you know. They're praying for generations of my family and care so much about my family. You know, this may be something for you, by the way, you know, just kind of a side note, you know. You may be the only one praying for your family. You may be the one that God's calling to step up and pray for your family. It's important that you are being that pillar for the family when you pass on, and you know, someone else will have to carry that mantle, but it's important that we're praying for our families. You know, that means prayer at night, prayer in daytime, you know, covering your family, loving your family, taking the time to pray for your family, you know? And so they do that. I mean, they're prayer warriors, you know, early up in the morning. I love it. I'd get up and go to school and I could smell the bacon going on in the kitchen, and they're getting ready to cook. My grandfather pulled the greens out of the garden, and I could smell the greens in the living room, you know, when I was young, you know, because they're just early morning people. But they love God and just love serving the Lord. My grandfather opened the door for the church, you know, and I'd get there early, climb under the bell choir, you know, go to sleep, because my grandpa was the first one at the church, you know. And so they love God, and I'll never forget getting there, you know, to pray with her. You know, that can be a little intimidating, you know. And so I'd go in there and I started reading her my Bible, you know, reading about healing, about this woman with the issue of blood. And before I knew it, I'm just reading the story. That's all I'm doing. That's all I know to do. I'm reading the story. You know, Lord told me to go there and pray for her, and I'm reading the story. And she gets up and starts cooking, you know, walks into the kitchen, starts cooking food. She got healed, praise the Lord. Got up out of her bed, got with it, and started cooking, you know. Think about that today, you know. The word is powerful. The word, don't run from the word when you don't feel good. Don't run from the word when you're having challenges. The word is quick enough to quicken you on the inside and lift your spirits up and heal you. It's God's medicine to your soul, man. You got to get his word within you, and it'll quicken your mortal body, you know. And it starts with the word, you know. All things are upheld by the word of God's what the scripture says. He's holding everything up with his word today. That's where it starts, is with words, right? And so words are where we need to start it with our healing. You know, you need to start looking at his word, getting his word within you, praise the Lord. Thy faith hath made thee whole, you know. So she saw some stuff about Jesus, and then she was able to go get her healing. But notice her faith made her whole. That's what made her whole, was her faith, not Jesus' faith, not the person next door's faith. Her faith made her whole. And you know, your faith is what God's going to use to make you whole. Your faith is what he's going to use to get you out of your situation. Your faith, you know, we're all looking out here for him to do it, you know, but he works with your faith to get you out of your situation. And that's what he did with this lady. Let's look over Mark the 10th chapter in the 46th verse. Mark 10:46, right? That's a totally different look and outlook on your life when you think about he's going to use my faith. And you're sitting there expecting him to do everything. But it's important that we're letting him use our faith to fix our circumstances, right? He likes to use your faith. He likes you to trust him. He likes you to believe that he can do it. He likes to use your faith right there where you're at today. Mark 10:46, let's look at that real quick. He says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Why would he do that? Why would he cry like that when he just heard about Jesus? He evidently was hearing some stories about Jesus. Rumors had gotten around about Jesus. And there's rumors today getting around about Jesus. People are hearing today that he's still a healing God today. He's still a God that can help you in any circumstance you're facing in today. There's rumors all about Jesus out there. He's the one that helped me. He's the one that fixed my situation. If you look back over your life, and if you're about my age, you know, and I'm about 47 years old there. I say about, I am 47 years old, you know, and over my life, I can think about all the times Jesus brought me through a situation and fixed a situation and helped me through a situation. He's still doing it today. He's still bringing people out today. He hadn't quit. He hadn't given up on people. No, he still loves his children. and he's still bringing them out of situations. And there obviously he'd heard some stories about this, heard about how he'd been healing the multitudes. The Bible says he healed them all, not just one of them. He healed them all. He'd go to a crowd and heal them all. And sometimes he'd go find one person just sitting out there by themselves, you know, and he'd just come out there, you know, probably wearing his Nikes, you know, and he came out there, I'm kidding, and he came out there and he'd pray for just one individual, you know, he'd care for one individual sometimes and reach out to them, you know, and you're one individual probably in the middle of nowhere, you know, or somewhere you think he doesn't see you, and he'll come right out there where you're at. He'll come right out there to the place that you're living today. You know, he cares about you and he loves you and he never leaves his children and he never forsakes his children. He's a good God and he'll come out there and help you. And he'll ask you the same question that he asked this gentleman here. Let's look real quick here. And he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth begging. So he cries out to him, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. You know, that's just the way the devil does. You're actually coming to God and he tries to get you to shut up. You know, he's like, "You're wasting your time. This isn't important. You know, why are you calling out to him? You know, that's an hour you're not going to get back now." Right? That's 5 minutes you're not going to get back now. Right? He likes to make you feel like you're stupid. Right? But he feels stupid when you call out and God answers you. It makes him feel stupid. He wouldn't try to make you feel that way if he didn't know that you're really going the right direction. If you weren't really going to do the right things, he wouldn't try to make you feel that way. Why would he try to stop you if you weren't really doing the right thing? You know, that's the thing with people's lives. They don't realize if everything's good, you're probably not doing anything for the Lord. If you're doing something for the Lord, that's when you face all the opposition and challenges that you're facing, because you're doing the right things. You know, you start going to church. I remember me and my mom when we were younger, you know, we started going to church, you know, and every time we'd go, it seemed like we'd fight all the way to church, you know. I was a teenager and I'd just fight all the way to church. And then when we would leave, everybody was happy, you know. It's just amazing. Everybody was just so happy when we left. We got what we needed. We got what we received from the Lord when we got there, you know. But, you know, we already got what we need from the Lord. So the devil's not attacking us after church. It's when we start to go to church, you know. He tries to attack you. Maybe tomorrow you say, "I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray," or "I'm going to get up and use my confessions tomorrow." Well, you got to be ready, because you're about to do the right things. And you got to be looking at it like, "Hey, I'm ready. Nothing's going to stop me from doing what God's called me to do." You know, I'm ready for any opposition. I'm ready for any challenge. I don't care how my body feels. I've got to do what God's wanting me to do. Amen. And so the 48th verse, he says, "And may charge him that he should hold his peace. And he cried more the great deal." I like that. He wasn't intimidated. He wasn't intimidated by all the stuff coming at him. You know, he still cried a great deal. You ever felt that way? You know, it's like you're starting to do the right thing. You say, "Well," and the devil fights you. I remember Brother Hagin talking about, you know, he started to pray in the spirit, you know, and he prayed for the first hour. The enemy told him he wasted his time. He said, "Well, I'm going to pray for 2 hours now." You know, and the enemy came to him after praying for 2 hours. You know, "You just wasted 2 hours, you know." And then he said, "Well, now I'm going to add another hour." You know, if I'm telling the story right, it's something to that effect. But he prayed even more, you know, "I'm going to add another hour. I'm going to add another hour. I'm going to add another hour," you know, just shutting the devil up. Just, "Hey, I'm going to do more now. You've done made me mad. I'm going to pray more," you know. Think about that today, you know. You get up in the morning, you know, read a little more Bible just to tick him off, you know. Pray a little bit more just to make him upset, you know. We don't like the devil anyway, you know. And you should show him that with your emotion, with what you're doing when you get up in the morning, not your emotions, you know. But show him who's boss in the morning. Show him who's the one in charge in the morning, you know. You're in charge of you. I was telling the story about Smith Wigglesworth, you know, and he talked about, you know, how the person came up to him and said, "How you doing?" over at his house, you know. And he says, "I tell myself how I'm doing." That was what his statement was, you know. I'm not telling the whole story, but he told himself how he's doing in the morning. And we have to speak to ourselves in the morning. You may not feel like a certain way a certain day, but it starts out with your words. I'm not saying you don't have to do some other things. You know, we have to take care of our bodies and take care of certain things. But we have to speak to our bodies and talk to the circumstances when we get up in the morning. We tell them how they're going to be. Jesus did that. Remember when he's in the boat? the circumstances, the storms are coming at him. He told the storm what the storm was going to do. He said, peace, be still, you know. And we have to talk to our circumstances and call those things that we should be calling for. We tell them what they need to be, praise the Lord, amen. And if it isn't what it needs to be the first time we tell, we keep talking to it. We keep talking to ourselves too, don't we? We talk to ourselves over and over if we have to. I'm sharp. I'm very smart. I'm sharp, smooth, good looking. I'm a major blessing, right? Calling those things that be not as though they were. And many charged them that they should hold their peace. And he cried with a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. 49 verses like this. Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And then the 50th verse, he said, he casting away his garment, rose up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He says, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus, you know, by the way, you know, you don't think Jesus knew what he wanted? You know, but he still wants us to ask. Amen. You know, he's the God of the universe. He knows what this gentleman's problems are. He knows what's going on with him, but he still wants us to ask. And the blind man said unto him, and the Bible says we have not because we ask not, right? We need to ask him for some stuff. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go thy way. Whose faith made this gentleman whole? Thy faith made him whole, right? The gentleman's faith made him whole, you know, and after him calling out, God knows where his faith's at, doesn't he? He's calling out. He's calling to Jesus. He knows that this man knows that he knows that he can be healed through him. He knows where his faith level is at. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He said his faith made him whole, right? And today your faith's going to make you whole. If you'll use your faith and stretch it out to God today, you know, your faith is going to change your circumstances. Your faith will make the crooked path straight, but you got to use your faith. Notice I'm giving you three examples now of three people that thy faith made them whole. Should we go through them all? He uses our faith. So we're going to need to know some stuff about faith. We need to know what it is. We need to know how to use it, right? If we're going to be able to use faith in our lives and how to take care of our faith, maintenance our faith. That's what I'd like to say, maintenance of our faith, you know? And so we need to maintenance our faith. You know, I mean, if your faith is going to take care of your babies, your faith is going to take care of your bills, your faith's going to take care of your health, if your faith is going to take care of your circumstances, then you need to know some stuff about faith, you know? And it's important that you say, well, I already know some stuff about faith, you know? Well, is it taking care of those circumstances? Is it working for you? Well, you might need to know a little bit more about it, and we're going to get into it some more today. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight, right? Now, we all have different things that we deal with, and we have all kinds of things in our circumstances we deal with, but that doesn't change our faith about them, right? Our faith should be strong that things are going to change. God's going to work out our situation. God's the one to do it. He's the fixer of all of our problems, you know, is God. And, you know, our faith should not stagger, should not change in that. He wants to make your situation better. He's our healer. He's our way maker. He's our provider. He's our everything. But we don't go by our circumstances. We go by the word of God, right? Faith, we walk by faith and not by sight in everything that we do. Hebrews 10:38 says it like this. Now that the just shall live, how do they live? You're the just if you're saved today. How are you supposed to be living? He says, now the just, how do they live? By faith, right? So we're supposed to be living by our faith. We're supposed to be walking by our faith, we just talked about there. But if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I don't want to be that person. I want God to have pleasure in me. I don't know about you, and I want him to be pleased with me, you know, and I don't want him drawing back because he has no pleasure in me, you know, and God has pleasure in those that have faith in him taking care of them, faith in him making their situations better, faith knowing he's the God of the universe and it's no problem for him. You know, he takes great pleasure in you having faith today. Hebrews 11:6 says like this, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, there's not a lot of places in scripture that I read using that word impossible. Think about that today. You know, there's not a lot of scriptures I see where it says that you know, it's impossible. But this is one of those things where it says it's impossible to please him, impossible to make him happy, impossible to make him look down good upon you without you having some faith. You know, faith is what God asks of us. He wants us to have it on a daily basis, you know, and if you're not having it on a daily basis, hey, we're going to talk about how you can fix that. But we're supposed to live, walk, and please God with our faith. That's pretty strong, isn't it? You know, I mean, if this is how he wants us to live now, do you think when we go to heaven, that's how we're supposed to live? Do you think when the 1,000-year reign, that's how we're supposed to live? Is that how we're supposed to live when he creates a new heaven and earth? You know, think about this today. You know, when he recreates the earth and, you know, I don't believe it's ever going to change if this is what pleases him. We need to have faith in every area of our lives. We're supposed to live, walk, and please God with our faith. So I would say we need to understand it. Wouldn't you think so? I think we need to live by it and understand it. You know, I was walking around and the foundations of it are so important. I was walking or driving around this has been some time ago, but I was just the other day seeing this, you know, them building some new houses here where I live. They're building houses all the time, just all kinds of people come to live where I live, you know, and they're building houses every direction, it seems like, around here. And I'll never forget going out and looking at this or driving by this place, and they had all these pipes coming up out of the concrete, and they were building the foundation of this house. You know, you got to have the plumbing all ready to go. You know, if all this stuff isn't right, when they build the rest of it, it's going to be all messed up, you know. And they were laying the foundation, had the foundation all laid there. They weren't laying it. It was already done. The concrete was all hard, and they'd put the pipes in there for the electricity. They had everything all set up, you know, for the sewage and the water and all the stuff that needed to be set up there, you know. But if the if this base isn't right, if the concrete isn't right, it can just fall over. The plumbing's not going to work. All the stuff's not going to work. The water's not going to work. You flush the toilet, it shoots it back at you, you know. Well, the foundation has to be right. And so that's the way it is with the believers, you know. When it comes to faith, we have to have a good foundation, you know. I remember when I was playing guitar, I used to go in every time when I was younger, you know, mom would pay for me lessons and I'd come in there with an audio tape, you know, and I would say, hey, I want to learn this. And I'd give my guitar teacher the hardest stuff to teach me in the world. You know, I'd be like, hey, I want to learn Eddie Van Halen, you know, some crazy something, you know, tough. He's like, well, if you don't know, in America, he's like one of the most well-known guitarists, you know, and he's passed away not too long ago. But some of his stuff is just tremendously hard, you know, and I'm telling him I want to learn this stuff. And he's like trying to teach me the basics, you know, and I'm asking for the stuff that's way up here. You know, I want this stuff way up here, you know, a lot of people like that about faith. They're getting stuff way up here, but they haven't learned the foundations, you know. They've learned stuff up here and they wonder why they don't function right in it. It's because they don't know the foundations, you know. Well, you know, I'd bring these audio tapes in there all the time, you know, and he'd teach me this, you know, so I'm learning songs, but I've never learned the foundation. So there was caused challenges for me later, you know. You have to go back and then you have to learn the foundations. I mean, I got to know how to tune the guitar, right? If I'm going to play somewhere, I got to know how to tune the guitar, you know. But the foundations are so important, you know. I'd be bringing in some tapes, and he would teach me these tapes. Mom, I don't think she even knew what was going on. But, man, I sound awesome when I get home. I can play these tougher things, you know. But you need to know the foundations to be really good with what you're working with, you know. And I learned that later, that I have to learn some foundational things to be able to play the way I need to learn. You know, I need to know the names of the chords, you know, if I want to read some music. I got to know the chords if I'm going to listen to and play some music, you know. I can't just play something or apply stuff from other songs to this. I need to learn, you know, and take the time to learn. Well, you know, I had to learn the foundations working with guitar. They're still learning things all the time. Guitar, there's so much to learn with a guitar. It's amazing to me. But anyway, I remember also when I was becoming a YouTube watcher and I was learning to fix all this stuff around my house, you know. And I thought it was awesome. I could fix anything, you know. Matter of fact, I used it not too long ago, and I'll look up on YouTube, see how somebody does something, and then I'll learn how to fix something on my vehicles a lot of times, you know. I did it with a washer, did it with a big TV, you know. I don't know if you've done that. I'm sure lots of people know what I'm talking about, how they have all these fixing videos and teach you how to do stuff. And, you know, I would watch these things, and I'd go fix stuff, you know. But how are they able to show it to me? Because they know the foundations. You know, most of the time they probably know all the ABCs of how to fix a car. You know, they know the ABCs of how to fix a washer, or they know the ABCs on how to fix a TV. And I learn from them and I'm able to go apply it, you know. And it's knowing those foundations that causes you to be successful in what you're doing. I never forget one time, you know, I felt like I was having a heart attack. I was like, oh, dear Lord, what's the matter with me? My wife said, you need to get over to the hospital, you know. And I said, what? You know, okay, I'll go, you know, and make sure I'm okay. So I went to get me checked out. I go into the emergency room and, oh my goodness, they throw me down the ground, throw me on the bed, and had three or four doctors working on me all at the same time, you know, and putting crud on. You know, when you tell them you think you're having a heart attack, they start working on everything with you, you know, and they're putting IVs in me, checking everything, you know. I'm having to go in a cup, you know. They want to make sure I'm okay. That's their job, you know. But they're checking all this stuff, and come to find out I just had an infection, is what it was an infection. You know, but I don't know the ABCs of the physical body. I don't know the ABCs of these things. They're able to figure it out because they know the basic truths about your body. They're able to find out what's wrong, you know, and if they didn't know the ABCs, they'd just be guessing about everything, you know. But when you have a good foundation, it's easy to figure out how to fix stuff. If you have a good foundation of faith, it's easy to find out where you need to correct some stuff and to make things work and make things better in your life. So it's important that you have good foundations when it comes to faith, knowing the ABCs of faith. Amen. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how to release your faith, how to feed your faith, what faith is. We're going to get into all that, and then we're going to get into these truths today. We're just going to talk about what it is. Let's look over Hebrews 11:1 real quick. Hebrews 11:1. And a lot of people, this is the scripture they use to describe what faith is. And we're going to look at that. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Great scripture, powerful scripture, one of my favorite scriptures. But it's telling you what faith does, is what it's talking about. As a matter of fact, if you define the word, if you'll go back and look in the Greek, it says that now faith is the sure foundation, is what it's saying there, of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So it is the foundation, but that's not telling you what it is. And so we're going to talk about what it is today. What is faith? Well, the Vines Concordance says it like this: faith is a persuasion. It's a firm persuasion is what it is. It's a belief, right? And it's a conviction based on the word of God. Say that with me. It's a firm persuasion. It's a belief. It's a conviction based on the word of God, right? That's what it is. That's what faith is. So you can interchange it with all those three things. You can say it's a firm persuasion. You can say it's a belief, and you can say it's a conviction based on the word of God. So every time you see faith in the Bible, you could switch it out and you would see more of what it is. Acts 26:27, it says it like this. King Agrippa, Paul's talking to King Agrippa here. And look what it says here in Acts 26:27. It says it like this. King Agrippa says, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What was Paul doing? He was trying to persuade him, wasn't he? He said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. He almost built faith in King Agrippa to become a Christian. Think about that today. When you got saved, what were they talking about? What caused you to want to be saved? They're talking about Jesus, talking about how wonderful Jesus is. Remember, we were talking about there about the woman who got healed there with the issue of blood. If you look it up, there's different versions of it. One version talks about how she heard some things, right? She heard some stuff. She heard about how he was the healer and he was healing the multitudes. She heard about how he was doing these type of things to heal people all the time, built her faith. And she's like, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed, praise the Lord, right? She was persuaded. She was firmly persuaded. She believed that she was going to be healed, so much so that she was pressing through the crowd to get through the crowd. She had faith, reached out. He said her faith made her whole. Amen. Think about that today. She was persuaded, right? And Paul was talking to this person here. He's telling him the stories about Jesus, talking to King Agrippa. talking about how good he is, talking about how he's the Messiah. He's talking about the prophets is what he says. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And talking about how the prophets talked about Jesus. Remember Isaiah 53:5? For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. Talking to King Agrippa about Jesus going to the cross, right? Talking about the things that he did there at the cross, you know? He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. I love that. Isn't that good? Think about that, though. He's talking about what he was going to do, talking about the coming Messiah and how he was the coming Messiah, Jesus, and he still is the coming Messiah. Talking about what he did, persuading him to become his Savior, working on him. You know, he went through all these things, did all these things, fulfilled what the prophets said. He's working on him. Persuade him. And he said, you almost persuade me, Paul. He's right at the edge, about to dive into salvation, he's talking about, because he almost persuaded him. I don't know about you. I remember getting saved, you know, rededicating my life to the Lord about 13. I remember I was in the church, and they're persuading me about how I need a Savior, right? Talking to me about how I need Jesus in my life. So much so, I went to the altar, right? Gave my life to Jesus. Think about that today. They persuaded me. They persuaded me I get to go to heaven if I ask Jesus into my life. They persuaded me. He's going to make my life better, praise the Lord. I was firmly persuaded. I had some faith, so I released my faith for salvation, and I got saved that day. And boy, I've been never the same since. At age 13, rededicated my life. And then I rededicated my life. I was persuaded I need to get my life right. He's talking to me, you know, Jeremy. I was talking to my wife about this earlier, going down the road. He told me, you know, coming home from a party, got my life off the wrong direction, you know, and I was coming home from a party, and he was talking to me. He said, Jeremiah, you don't have to live your life like this on my way home, you know. He persuaded me there's a better life for me. I was persuaded after that conversation with Jesus. And after I had that conversation, I rededicated my life to the Lord right there at 20 years old. Think about this today, you know. He's building faith within you, causing you to be firmly persuaded. Some of you listen right now, he's persuading you, hey, you can have a better life right now. You can have a whole lot better situation that you can have for your life if you just ask him to be your Savior. Just like King Agrippa, he's persuading you that, you know, he has past prearranged, picked for you. One translation says, living the good life. He has a better life for you, but you have to accept Jesus in your life, praise the Lord. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, that thou also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds. Think about that today. He said, I want you all to be just like me. That's why I'm working so hard to persuade you and to get some faith within you, you know. And I think about, you know, with my wife, you know, I'm going to forget, she went to the hospital and the Lord healed her, you know, of blood clots. She had 3 blood clots. I'll never forget, you know, the Lord healed her. And I so badly want you to have that healing too. If she was here, she would so badly want you to have that healing too. You know, we persuade you he's a healer. He did it for her. He'll do it for you if you let him be your healer today. He's a healer. Amen. And he'll heal you today and help you with your circumstances. Bible says, for he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. You flip over to 1 Peter 2:24. It says that by his stripes we were healed. And so he's healed you today if you accept Jesus Christ. You just need to receive your healing today. Let him heal you in your situation today. Amen. Believe him. Have faith that he's going to do it. Well, Paul almost persuaded King Agrippa. And, that's how he's doing it today. He's trying to persuade you and help you to have faith in your life today. Have a belief. Have a conviction based on the Word of God. I'll never forget, you know, this apple dessert that I love the most. It's so wonderful. It's one of the best apple desserts in the whole planet. And there's a certain place I can go get this apple dessert. I mean, it's got cinnamon, it's got everything. Now my wife can make it. It's just a wonderful dessert. She knows it's my favorite dessert, so she's learned to make it, you know. But I remember telling my family about it. I'm like, you guys got to try this thing. It's wonderful. It's got apples, it's got cinnamon, it's got all these different things in it. It's so good. You got to try this apple dessert. And then they put a dip of vanilla ice cream on top of it. It melts into dessert. It makes it even better. Oh, Jesus, it's wonderful. I'm talking about this dessert, you know. well, you know, after I talked to them about it, they're getting persuaded, you know, about this dessert. They want to try this dessert, you know. So I take them to the restaurant down there. We try it all together. We got three spoons in this thing. Oh, man, it's good. I'm not kidding, you know, but they never have the dessert if they don't ever go to the restaurant to get the dessert and believe that the dessert's going to be good. You know, God's trying to persuade you today to get you healed, get you saved, tell you how wonderful it is. You know, he has a destiny for your life. He wants to prosper. He wants to fix your situation. He's trying to persuade you today. He's working on you, working when you go to bed on you, working on you when you get up in the morning, talking to you like he did when I was going down the road. Hey, I have a better life for you. I have good things for you. But, you know, you got to be persuaded to act on those things so God can do those things in your life. We're going to get more into this subject. We just starting this the first day, but talking about the ABCs of faith. Let's pray today, and we're going to pray for some salvation and pray for you today that God helps you to be firmly persuaded in the areas you need to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being so good to us today. And Father, we just ask that you touch the people listening. Father, help them to see, Father, through your word, what faith is, Father, today, and help them to learn to grow in it as we get into it these next few weeks, Father. And Father, we just ask you, help us, Father, to be enlightened, to see what you want us to see in the word, we pray. And Father, we just ask for it in Jesus' name. Help them to chew on this this week and help them to grow in it. Help us to get into it a little bit more next week, grow in it. We pray in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Father, for it in advance. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you don't know Jesus, like I said, you need to know him, right? Not just know about him. You need to know him. You need to walk with him and you want this God that you can talk to on a daily basis. He's a God you can talk to, have fellowship with. He's alive. If you want to know him, let's pray this together right now. Praise the Lord. Just repeat after me. We're going to be praying out of Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you want to write that down so you don't forget it, but we're going to pray out of Romans 10, 9 and 10. The Bible says, if we believe God has been risen or Jesus has been risen from the dead and believe God has risen Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. And so we're going to pray for that right now. Father, I just believe you've risen Jesus from the dead today. And Father, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life today. Jesus, come be Lord of my life today, Father. I'm ready for it. Do it for me now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. If you pray that prayer, you are saved. And you can write down, I got saved at 513, 828, if you'd like to. Put it somewhere so you don't forget it. 2022. And that's one of the most wonderful it is the most wonderful thing you could do with your life today and for the rest of your life, and accepting Jesus as Lord of your life. And write it down so you don't forget it. When the enemy comes to give you a hard time about it, you can say, I was done that date, praise the Lord. And so you don't forget it. We love you. God bless you. I'm going to check the notes here, see what I got here, see if I can answer your questions and pray for people on YouTube and with Podbeam. If you'd ever like to make a comment, come to the live ones and you can make a comment. Or you can also email me if you'd like at jeremiasministries@yahoo.com. I've had pastors contacting me through that. If you'd like me to speak at your virtual meeting or speak at your church, email me there. We love you. God bless you. I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless you.
If you'd like to contact us for a prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to jeremiasmithministries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.